Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz, celebrating as our Suns. That's right, your, mine, and our Gold Coast Suns atop of the ladder. Unbelievable. The first time it's ever happened, according to Sir Swamp Thing, that we finished a round, opening round, which we love. We've always loved here at the Draft Doctors. First time it's ever happened, sitting there on top, happy days, good times. Anyway, big show. Of course, it's a solo pod, so I'll say it's a nice tight one. We'll wrap it up in around an hour and 69 minutes. Couple things at the first. Baby Fizz's birthday today. She turned 8. Obviously, we started the show before she was even born, so congratulations to my lovely daughter. These fucking chickens, man. I got these fucking chickens, all right? Mrs. Fizz, she wanted to have chickens. She got 3 little chickens. And they turned out to be roosters. They all turned out to be roosters. We've palmed 2 of them off. And then Mrs. Fizz came home with a whole shitload more chickens. A whole shitload more. And then she got another one. And this other one's turned out to be a rooster as well, man. And we can't get rid of it. If anyone wants a rooster, man, I will pay you $20 and drive the fucking thing to your doorstep. No dramas. I need to get rid of this fucking thing. It's killing me. So if you live on a farm or, you know, whatever, I will bring it to you as long as you're within range, and I'll pay you $20. That's right, 20 big ones. So anyway, on to the footy. I just want to say thanks to everyone who had me on their shows as we enter the season. Traders, Holmesy, Dossie, although he's out now. Bales, who is super positive about the fantasy football, man, he loves it. Good for him. MJ over the coaches panel, and there's probably a couple others because I was doing the rounds. Yeah, doing the rounds this preseason. Anyway, there was a few injuries in the first opening round. Sam Doherty and Kitty Coleman did the ACLs in the first match. So we're going to look at pickups. Sam Doherty, I think there's a little bit that goes on with it. You like it for Mitch McGovern for his fantasy output, especially with Jacob Wiedering out, maybe more so in SC. He was pretty relevant there even last year. So he's a player I think you can pick up with off the waivers whilst Wiedering's out, especially in your Supercoach formats. You like it for Nick Newman drafters. I was pretty down on Nick Newman. Wasn't sure what was going to happen with that situation, but you like it for him. I think it's probably okay for Akers. And maybe even Zach Williams becomes a sneaky play. He's been more of a super coach pick in the past, so, but maybe there. But I don't know that we need to go there in the defenders, although I think Brisbane have always been a pretty tough matchup for defenders, so maybe there's a bit of upside in Zach Williams. On the Kitty Coleman side, Matty Faz loves himself some Darcy Wilmot as an option. He did have the 4 kick-ins, but they do have Connor Mack to come back, and Tom Dode, whatever. So there's a couple of players to return there, but maybe Darcy Wilmot's an option if you're desperate to make an ad out of that situation. I probably wouldn't go there myself, but whatever. The greatest hair in football, Cal Ward, did the AC joint. I actually think this one's pretty interesting because he was only 30% owned, but he was playing like full midfield time, and the guy who we would expect to replace him didn't play, and he's more highly owned in Finn Callahan at 53% owned. But so he's out there in a lot of leagues. He's absolutely a sneaky pickup if you had Doherty or Ward. Maybe he's out there in your league. And I think Perry the Platypus, Harry Perryman, 42% owned. They're both a big chance to come in for the dream 3-game run. So maybe an option there. Although Perryman's a defender. He certainly has played some midfield time before, but I think they'll prefer Finn Callahan to really look for that breakout, who we did like heading into the season. And the other one was Jake Bowie, broken collarbone. So he's set to miss a bit of time on the sidelines there. Had 5 kick-ins, so he's it's not insignificant, but I don't think there's anyone I'm rushing to pick up from that Melbourne team. You could maybe theorise that Salem spends a bit more time back, He had a bit of a go in the midfield, and maybe Cozzy Pickett, set to return, could play some midfield time, but I'm not rushing up to pick any D's defenders. They've never been a big fantasy area because they tend to force turnovers a bit higher up the ground. Although, I think in the preseason we mentioned that Angus Brayshaw was pretty good in that area. Clayton Oliver was also good in that area. And maybe if Brayshaw misses some time, there could be some more ball in defense. So we'll see how that goes, but there's certainly some options there. Onto the waivers. It's kind of funny that you probably free agents are open and the waivers. Look, this whole new kettle of fish, this round zero thing, like the salary cap is a, you know, there's weird things going on with their pricing. I mean, it's new for everyone, right? It's like, man, shit, did you live through the, Y2K period where everyone thought like planes were just going to start falling out of the sky? It shows my age, but man, people were terrified of the zeros and the year going from 1999 to 2000 on the clocks. It's sort of like that. It's just like, man, just chill out. It'll all get sorted. Yeah, I feel sorry for the people who are running the show, and let's just not overreact, people. Let's just touch some grass, go outside. It's all gonna be working out. You know, it's not 10 minutes before the first bounce of round one. Like we've got time. Anyway, waivers. Matty Roberts from Sydney, who no doubt the salary cap is a frothing over, led the kick-ins for the Swans. Now, I'm not sure that there'll be many better matchups than Melbourne, but he's pretty lowly owned at 19%. Put out a good score. I mean, a lot of defenders put out a good score for Sydney. But yeah, the kick-in thing looks nice. They obviously trust him with the ball, so he's an interesting pickup if you need a defender. Jared Lyons got way back in that midfield rotation, 25% ownership. It'll be interesting to see which way they go with this. Like, I could see a world where they just throw Hugh McCluggage in there, but they might wait a little bit later in the season. But yeah, Jared Lyons had a big score, super lowly owned. I think, you know, every now and again someone asked us who's going to bob up if someone gets an injury. He didn't even need an injury. He was just straight in there like the old days. So Jared Lyons is certainly an option. Someone who was good a couple of years ago but sort of didn't get much of a gig last year, Sam Berry. And I think he's worth a crack, right? He 32% owned. Had that really good preseason game. And the thing I like to see is Sam Berry, like they smashed the game, so that's fine. But he won outside ball. And kind of where I didn't know about his fantasy game was all his score came from tackles. So if he's out there winning some outside ball, maybe he's developed his game in the sandfall, I don't know. Then, you know, I just think he's worth a crack with some of these midfielders going down, missing time. Obviously, you've got Walsh out, Parker's out, Guthrie's out. So people's midfields are thin. He's worth a crack, in my opinion. Mitch McGovern, 31% owned, like I said, against the Tigers, who maybe they were just super, super move the ball long. I think they're going to reel that back in. I know we've got a question about that, so we'll talk about it later. But it looks like a good pickup against the Tigers. And although Tom Lynch will be back and Dusty will be back, so maybe things get squared away for Richmond and they smarten up. GWS forwards against North and Port versus West Coast. You'd expect they're both track meets. GWS forwards, probably hard to grab a Jesse Hogan or a Brent Daniels, but maybe a Toby Bedford or Callum Brown kicked was it 4 or 5 goals on the weekend? So he might be an option as well, but Port. Bulldoggies, they should do a number on West Coast. You would imagine, I think the Bulldogs are playing Melbourne this week, so maybe there's an option there as well. Now, did want to talk about a couple of things that I noticed from an unsustainable point of view, and we want to talk about Matt Rowell, and they're saying Matt Rowell could win the Brownlow and all this sort of thing. And it's just, it was such an amazing game. Like, he had more centre clearances than Richmond. Like on his own, it was quite incredible. 20 clearances, 26 contested possessions. It's just not sustainable at all, people. Like, let's really put our thinking caps on here. 17 ground ball gets, that's far more than we saw anyone average last year. the 26 contested possessions is just ridiculous, just absolutely ridiculous, and the clearance numbers as well. So I like he can get there a good score in other ways, but it's probably through tackles. We've seen him be an exceptionally good tackler before. So, yeah, there wasn't much heat in that game for mine, especially for a round one match. Going up against, a pretty rough team. So he only took the one mark when Gold Coast took 114 marks, and he took one. To me, that's a worry. You know, 118 marks, and he took one of them. Like, fuck, man. That's crazy. So, he's a good player and all that. I think that's the top of his range in terms of what you can physically do. He might be able to lay 14 tackles next week and get there in other ways, but I'm very, very cagey. 8 uncontested possessions out of 225 for a central midfielder. It's just not good enough for mine. So I'd probably be selling Matt Rowell. You're probably not trading him, but, you know, if someone threw the kitchen sink at you, I'd certainly take it. I mean, they come up against the Adelaide midfield, who are pretty good, pretty good. So that's an interesting one. I think Lockie Whitfield, who obviously loved heading into the season, probably isn't going to take 14 marks a game. So, but again, that's something he can do, but it's probably not going to be something you see every week. He had the massive score. That's obviously, you know, going to flatten out over the season. He's certainly not going to throw out 137 every week. 14 marks is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Can't imagine the ball spending much time in defense the next couple of weeks. So he might be due an 80 or two. The other player I thought might be interesting to talk about is, let's get to it, Blake Howes. Because I think people might look at him as an option. Maybe the salary cap is a frothing over him, but people might look at him as an option. He had 12 intercept possessions, which is pretty extreme. And he only had 18 possessions, so he's only won 6 balls from his teammates. So 12 intercepts is pretty extreme. I think most people would agree with that, especially when you're in a team with like Stephen May and Jake Lever. I find it hard to believe he'll replicate that going forward. So he's probably one I'd pass over just at this point in time. Like, good game and all that sort of thing, but I just might leave that one for now. Anyway, we'll move on to the questions and see what we can do. I want to wrap this up nice and quick because we've got to go get pizzas for dinner. Ninja Spoon, he held Brayshaw in keeper and he just lost Doherty. Pity party this weekend, bounce back next week. And that's the right way to look at it, man. You just got to find solutions. It's never the end of the world. It sucks, especially when you're not probably playing an actual match. You always want to leave that draft as late as possible. It sucks when they get injured in a match that you're not playing in. Although, I mean, to be fair, you didn't cop the shitty score. So, swings and roundabouts. It happens to everyone over the years. Russ, do you fear for Taranto's scoring in this Richmond system? They had the highest meters gained per disposal and the lowest fantasy points of round zero. He had 11 disposals to halftime when getting flogged, and only one in the third quarter when they kicked 6 goals to zero. He only had 2 marks for the whole game and averaged 4.4 under Dimmer. Now, I would be slightly worried about Taranto. We had him pretty highly ranked for the midfielders heading into the season. But I want to say this. Richmond's system was a high meters per disposal system anyway last year, right? They were third in the league, and they have been under Hardwick quite high at the top. 21.44 meters per disposal would, if they maintain that over the season, not only would it set records, they would be picking first in the draft. Like, no one does it, right? And they turned the ball over. They had a turnover for every 3.9 disposals. So the highest, I think, on in the last 10 years, meters per disposal, was Gold Coast at 18.5. So I would they might try this for a few weeks to just go super long. But I would expect that they have to reel that back in. And, you know, you see it every year. Teams want to play fast at the start. They cop a couple losses and then the brakes get put on, right? And I would expect that at Richmond. I know they'll get Dusty back and they'll get Tom Lynch back and all that sort of thing. But I just can't see them wanting to move the ball that long, because they're just going to turn it over. Like, that's how teams are set up to intercept. And I don't think Gold Coast are especially good intercepting team. They might have been made to look good in this game, but I mean, realistically, this game should have been a 10-goal loss and an absolute bloodbath. So I'd expect some change from Richmond, certainly to their midfield mix, because they just got fucking destroyed on the inside and the outside. So yeah, I can see it both ways. I think Toronto might be an interesting buy target. But I certainly have some concerns if I owned him. Don't know what that trade would look like, by the way. I know people, it's easy to say, oh, trade him or whatever, but you sort of should suggest what you're trading with. Oogie Boogie, Shiva draft today, and mids fell off the cliff in round 6. I know Stephen is a fan of holding injured players, but took Lyons and Guthrie in 15 and 16 rounds with the thought, if Lyons can hold his spot till Ashcroft comes back, Guthrie should be on the verge of a return too. Thoughts? Yeah, and it's kind of the funny way in, like, the Shiva, you're probably playing against people you don't know. Play it a bit safe. Group think, take mids. I don't mind the strategy. I don't mind it. I don't love it, but yeah, if you're fielding 7 mids, you need depth. So I don't hate it. Yeah. Daniel, while I'm aware it's a small sample size, how do we feel about Thompson Dow? Sitting at M7 for me at the minute, should I look for value in the restricted free agents instead? Yeah, I would. Daniel, Neil looked like he struggled on the weekend, and with the inclusion of Lyons, he struggled to get the pill. Does he become a 90s Jag this season? Yeah, look, he was a player I was pretty down on with the groin news. So it was really funny because he consistently fell to me in drafts and I just kept passing him over. Again, when I talk about that risk profile when you're drafting, if you take someone like that early on in the piece, it really does affect the way you... this is for me anyway. Like, people want to draft risky, that's fine. For me, it affects how I draft the rest of the way. I play a straight bat. There's certainly players in the range of Neil that you can get. Yeah, I mean, he was a 90s player last year, wasn't he? He only averaged 90, didn't he? Pretty sure. We'll see. I'll have a look at that. We got time. This is a solo pod. Who cares? You can go 3 hours. Lucky Neil. 96. He averaged 96 last year. I find it hard to believe he'd beat that. Maybe he gets better. He's just not for me this year. 2 tackles, 2 marks. He's certainly better than 75, but I think he's a 90s player. Certainly off the groin surgery and all that. Tom Mitchell was the sub this weekend, also from Daniel. As an owner, this worries me. Do we think this continues? Tom Mitchell was a player I was down on. I think he's in that range where if they can find better options in the midfield, they will, and I would expect him to continue to get subbed at various times. I know he had the great final series, but he has risk. Who has more upside with devastating injuries over the weekend, Williams or Wilmot? I personally would say it's Williams. You can take either way. If you wanted Wilmot, I'm not against it. And he's eagerly awaiting the next podcast. Well, here it is. You got it. Well done. Keeper League Case, I thought Hardwick was a fantasy handbrake, but is it actually just something in the water at Punt Road? They just got destroyed, man. I can't remember the last time Gold Coast had 118 marks, if ever. Like, my God. But I would expect Richmond to change their system, and Gold Coast were probably just the beneficiaries of trying to implement a new game plan there. Breno, can we get some trumpets going? Yeah, fucking A we can. Fucking A we can. Get those Suns on top, mate. We get to play an irrelevant Adelaide Crows this week. 2-0, baby. 2-0. Draft Doctor's custom help intern. Should we cancel the rest of the season and hold the grand final right now between our Gold Coast Suns and GWS? Man, you know what really sucked is our favourite Cal Ward was going to play his 300th game in Adelaide against our Gold Coast Suns. All things we love. Cal Ward, the Suns, Adelaide. It was going to be a great time. But yeah, let's get it on. Let's get it on. BEP, how good's weekly content? Jam, preseason is way too long. It feels good to be into it, but I know by round six I'll be like, ugh, it's boring. Jacob, although it was a weird preseason. Weird preseason, man. I don't know if it was just Twitter and Philip Lowe being out. We really lost our common enemy. That's probably it, right? We're all just so... He was the target of all our hate, and now we don't know where to funnel it. Jacob, do I pick up Fiorini off the waivers in exchange for Bruin? Round zero hype. I don't think so, man. If you wanted to, you could. I think Adelaide have been a pretty restrictive team in the past. I'd be willing to give Bruin a roll. It's up to you, man. They're in that same range, I think. I'm not trying to avoid both of them, probably. Ed, do Richmond look like the new... It's so, man, the... It's so funny, like, the salary cap is right. It was all just like, you could see this was going to happen from a mile away. It's like, oh, avoid the buy players, avoid the buy players. And then you get all these guys pop. And they're always going to pop. That's sort of like that guy I was talking about. What was his name? House or whoever. They're not going to back that up, man. Matt Roberts, maybe. But again, that was such a sweet matchup. Like, Melbourne just roosting it to Sydney. Like, please take the ball the other way. Yeah, crazy, man, crazy. We'll see how that washes up. Ed, do Richmond look like the new West Coast, or is it just the sad, jaded West Coast supporter we talking? Oh, man, yeah, Richmond, I saw someone tweet out, man, get him another camel, which I thought was funny. I think, yeah, Richmond are interesting, man. Like, if you think about West Coast, they traded those picks to get Tim Kelly, and then it kind of, you know, they're in that spot where they didn't have picks. Now they got to develop guys. And have Richmond done the same thing? They brought in Toronto. They brought in Hopper. It's probably slightly different, but they gave up picks to get them. It's just the cycle of things, man. Just the cycle. You go up, you come down. So they could be bad. They could be bad. Certainly defenders look pretty handy. BP, anything to worry about with Briggs? Or on the other end, is Darcy Cameron for real or just a flash in the pan? So I had a look at this because I've got Briggs in my home league, which is super coach. He scored okay. He still rucked a lot, but there was less ruck contests and he lost a bit. I always associate ruck contests with tackles. So it's just his numbers were down a little bit for your, Dream Team formats. Darcy Cameron won hitouts at a far higher clip than we're used to seeing. I wouldn't stress. It's just one of those things. Like, as players are going to have good games, and we've only got a few games of sample size at the minute. Good players will have bad games. Bad players will have good games. And it peters out by round three. And that's where your trade target should be set. You look at, you know, Tim Toronto. If he has a bad game next week, you know, his value is going to start tanking. You hope things turn around if you trade for him. But, yeah, I'm okay with Briggs for now. Major, Gold Coast defender scores reliable or just against Richmond? I kind of think they just got lucky copying Richmond's efforts in that game. And who's calling, like, and then Richmond are focused on Carlton, man. They don't care about Gold Coast. Who's Collingwood's main distributor out of the back line? I'm not sure that's an easy thing to pinpoint. Like, and that might change from game to game. So Maynard was really playing a lockdown role. Yeah, I'm not sure. That we might have to evolve, keep an eye on that evolving over the season. They might not have one. It might be a sort of a group effort, and whoever does it, does it. So I know that's not really much of an answer. Maynard scored pretty well, so, you know, maybe get on that. 9 marks, 15 kicks. I don't know. I don't think I was really high on any Collingwood defenders, so that probably, I mean, I know Nick Dacos is a defender, but he's not playing defense. So that probably tells you something. It's a good question to ask. If you can find it, there could be a lot of value there. Warren, strange weekend. Drafted Gawn, who was poo-poo, but also Heaney, which looks sexy. Also had Kitty Coleman, sad face emoji. But Will Power looks totally DTF. Basically, footy's back, and I'm left wondering why my wife is with me. It's a good question. They're strong, those women's. Small sample size, but was the biggest game style shift. But what was the biggest game style shift surprise of the weekend? Probably Gold Coast being able to take 118 marks. I think the Richmond's was pretty extreme, right? Like, they took what they were doing and just went, they just pushed it to 11, man, like Spinal Tap. They just went, and I don't expect it to continue. So we'll see how that plays out. Richie, is Titch actually washed? Yeah, probably. BJ, can you bank the goals kicked by Callum Brown in round 0 for the round 1 Listener League? Asking for a C. No, you can't. Sorry, BJ. Anyway, that'll wrap it up for the round 0 opening round, whatever the hell it is, podcast. Man, it's fun. It's good. It's all happening. We can enjoy ourselves again. Yeah, it's good times, man. Footy starts this week. Don't worry about last week. That's nothing. Anyway, if you want my rooster, once again, please, 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 I'm begging someone. $20. It's yours. I'll drop it at the door. Happy times. Have a rooster. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.